Welcome to Extra Points. Now here's your host, Cousin Sal, and his pal, Dave Damashek.
All right, welcome to the Extra Points Podcast, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousin Sal coming to you with his dear, dear friend, Dave Damashek. Here we are, Friday, the Friday before Valentine's Day. Dave, are you doing it up right? What goes on with you on Valentine's Day?
Well, philosophically, I maybe we've never talked about this, but I am opposed to Valentine's Day. I'm opposed to institutionalized requirement to be romantic. It's the antithesis of romance. Ooh. It gives everybody else a chance to play catch up for the true Lotharios out there who understand that any time is a good time to treat your beloved the right way.
If they put a poll up as who's men or women who's opposed to Valentine's Day, they take a stand. It would have to be like 97% men and 3%. I mean, maybe women are too, but I find overwhelmingly men are like, because they don't want to go out and get a car. I do it upright. I'm going to shame you here. I send to my sister's flowers. I send the my wife's old lady flowers. I send to my wife and my mother. And it's one of those things. I did it like 15 years ago. And then once you do it once, you can't stop, right?
Well, you already have Mother's Day, though. Now, I know all your female relatives aren't mothers, but that's the day you honor them in that regard.
You do you.
But here's the problem with Valentine's Day. It's not the worst holiday. Of course, the worst holiday is Labor Day, a holiday that celebrates work, aka the man. I'm not going to be party to that. But Valentine's Day is this supposed day to celebrate the coupling, your soulmate, and all of that, except that it only celebrates the woman. How come I don't get a gift? Why don't I get anything?
I think you're supposed to. The assumption that I
have to get flowers and chocolates and such, but I don't get anything in return. You get something in return for Valentine's Day.
You get like a free massage coupon. We discussed this at length on what's the name of that podcast, Joel Solomon?
we call it Laugh Lines.
This is why I have to take off on Laugh Lines with Rachel Bonetta and
Josiah
Johnson.
Wait a second. Rachel Bonetta gives you a massage coupon?
No, that seems inappropriate. Stop it. No. Nothing like that. No, we went over the worst choices for gifts, and massage coupon was one. Flowers cut from your own or someone else's garden, I leaned on as the worst and the laziest. I mean, you need a pair of scissors to get that done, and it's over in 3 minutes. And what were some of the other? Pharmacy chocolate, which I kind of just like the phrasing of pharmacy chocolate. Seems like
I saw you talking about pharmacy chocolate. No, break the bank, go the extra mile, go to See's Candy or a high end chocolatier.
Enjoying nothing less. Yeah.
Well, 2020's Shecky Award winner for best treat is the dark chocolate See's Candies filled with caramels, nuts, and whatever else you can dream of. That's the direction you want to go in.
Pretty good stuff. You just take the caramel out and put coconut in, and that's it.
Okay.
That's where you win. Hey, enough of this talk. We have Ryan Jensen. We have a Super Bowl champ. He's going to be calling in. He's going to be zooming in a few minutes, Dave.
Ooh.
The center
of the Tampa Bay
Buccaneers, right?
Yes.
A hair that an 18-year-old would covet. What do you go, right? An 18-year-old man would covet. He's got it all going on right now. 6'4", 315, Super Bowl champ, snaps the ball to Tom Brady, who was the MVP. Very excited to have him on.
A lot of center news in pro football today. A lot of interior lineman news. J.J. Watt is released now. He's out there. Marquise Pouncey retires. Mike Pouncey retires. And like you say, we have a Super Bowl champion.
Let's discuss this J.J. Watt thing. Flat out released by the Houston Texans. Now, I don't know why, other than that the Houston Texans seem to have lost all business sense, that they didn't try to get a third or fourth rounder for J.J. Watt. Rappaport says that they just tried to do the right thing by him. So they've just abandoned all business. Okay, all right, yeah. Yeah, just go. I know we can get assets for you, but go. Which makes me think Deshaun Watson, this is just a dance at this point. He can't stick around, right? He can't stick around. And they can't think that he's going to stick around, right?
No, but also I think it's going to be vexing to the Texans fan out there because, of course, the two situations are completely different. One guy is a tenured veteran in his last year of a contract and everything else, whereas Deshaun Watson, it's the front end of his prime and all that, and just signed his deal. But yeah, Texans fans are going to be miffed by the fact that they let J.J. Watt go for nothing, and yet they're going to hold on to Deshaun Watson. I think, like we've been talking about, they're going to convince themselves, we got to keep Deshaun Watson. We can't let him go. This is a bridge too far, except he's going to go anyway, and they need to come to grips with the fact that he's leaving, and Deshaun Watson isn't in July going to be like, all right. I mean, what their gamble is, it seems, is that maybe we'll get things into such a place that Deshaun will realize, okay, now we're heading in the right direction and I should stick around here and make a go of it. But they're going to hold on to him potentially for too long, because if you call the Jets or Dolphins right now, you could get, I mean, if you call the Jets, you could get, if you wanted Sam Darnold, I don't think they want him, but they want the second pick. They could get a gaggle of picks from the Jets. I don't know, come draft, or if they wait until the draft or even after the draft or into the summer, all these other organizations are going to kind of move on with their assumptions about their team, and they're not going to get the haul in return that they want.
You're betting on the next 6 weeks, right? Because from May to August doesn't matter, right? That's diminishing returns in terms of Deshaun Watson wanting to stay. So don't worry. Once we keep him past May, it's like, no. Then you're all in, right? Then you really don't think he's going to sit out and do all the things that we've come to love that the NBA does, some of the players would do. I think he's leaving. I think they have to try to get something for him. It's funny with these sports arguments. A lot of people just look at the one side of it. Like on Fox Bet Live, will the Patriots go after Deshaun Watson? Should they go after Deshaun Watson? You got Clay Travis and Todd Furman like, oh, absolutely they should. Look at this. They had 12 touchdown passes as a team. This is like, hold on a second. He's not going to want to go there. He doesn't want to go to New England. He's the one who has the no trade clause. He's the one who's grown up in Georgia, played his college days in Carolina, and then went to Houston. He's a warm weather guy. He doesn't want to saddle up next to the old curmudgeon Bill Belichick, right? It's a two-way street with all of this.
We've been talking about this for 6 months or maybe 6 years, definitely the last 6 weeks. I mean, now the bloom, I mean, well, now the rose is awfully old there in Bill Belichick, but I mean, has this now, the celebration out in the sea with Tom Brady drunk and everything else, throwing the Lombardi around and all that kind of stuff, has this further laid bare the fact that it's just no fun to play in New England? We've heard those hints coming out of there that it's just not as much fun, and the rationalization from players from the Patriots has been over the last 20 years like, hey, you know what's fun? Winning. That's what's fun. Like, yeah, all right. I know. That's a little bit hardo for my taste.
Well, we have Ryan Jensen now in the waiting room. So I want to bring him in. Yes, we do. He jumped on early. I like that. He wants to talk about all this stuff with us.
Classy. He's got to get back out on the boat. Tom's waiting.
All right. Here he is. Last Sunday, our guest won a Super Bowl. And with all due respect to Tom Brady, nothing happens until this man snaps the ball to him, the center. From your world champion Tampa Bay Buccaneers, Ryan Jensen. What's happening, Ryan?
Not too much. Just enjoying this week and having a good time celebrating.
You really did look like you were having a good time. That was, I want to talk about it later with Dave, but that was the celebration of all celebrations for a championship team. Do you feel like you seem a little rested, but maybe there's a second wave of exhaustion that's about to set in?
Yeah, I think it, Tuesday it hit me, and then after the parade on Wednesday, I came home and lay down on the couch and fell asleep for about 12 hours. So yeah, it's been a crazy week.
Yeah, well, mazel tov to you, obviously, first of all. But listen, I don't want to jump into the hot take right out of the gate, but let's talk about though what we saw on the boat on Wednesday, your hero guide you to victory and everything else. And I mean, does Tom, does Gronk, does anybody mention, wow, this is way more fun to do it with BA than it was with Bill Belichick?
And you look at the shot over Tampa where the parade was at, and you saw probably 1,000 boats in this parade, and it was just awesome. I think Gronk and Tom had probably the time of their life. I know I did. It was unreal just to see the support from the city of Tampa and everybody out there. That's when I had my holy crap, we actually won the Super Bowl moment. You know, after the game, it really hadn't set in yet. But when we're out on that boat and you know, going through Tampa and you just see thousands and thousands of people lining the street. That's really when it set in for me.
I was going to ask you there, what was the moment that it set in? So that probably like four moments, right? So there's when you snap it and then Tom takes the kneel down and you're actually one, the clock expires. And by the way, you should have turned right around and grabbed that ball. You could sell it on eBay for, you know, 90, 100 bucks. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. There's that. There's when you climb into the over the barrier to see your family, and there's a great clip online. You hug your mom, right? There's that moment. There's lifting the Lombardi Trophy, and then there's the moment you just mentioned, the parade. Like, I'm not asking you to rank them one through four, but it must just it's crazy that the pinnacle. You don't have moments like that in your life, and then you have four moments like that within 24 hours. I can't even imagine what it's like.
Yeah, it's wild. Just the range of emotion. You know, about halfway through the third quarter, start of the fourth quarter, you know, we thought we had it in the bag, and, you know, so the emotion starts building a little bit, like we did it, like, you know, we just got to finish this game out. Then you get about 5 minutes left and we're still up by whatever it was, 23 points or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like, it's over. Like, the emotion kind of gotten taken out of the game, that, you know, it didn't come down to the last play emotion. So that kind of got taken out, and then obviously snap the ball, rip a knee, game over, you know, confetti's flying. There's a moment right there. She's like, this is awesome. And all I could think about was, I need to hug my mom. Like, you know, my mom and my dad, they did everything for me as a kid. They made sure I had everything that I ever needed. And, you know, I didn't care if they weren't going to be allowed on the field. I was going to go get them and give them a hug. Cause they mean the world to me.
Well, that's the right way to do it. I've tried over the years to counsel guys about to get drafted. Don't at the draft, at the big round table, don't hug your agent before you hug your mom.
That's, right.
That seems pretty basic stuff. It was awesome stuff, obviously, that you ran up into the stands. But what about, you know, I get the idea that this is one of those Super Bowl titles that Tom Brady is getting a lion's share of the shine. It's kind of like when the Ravens won and Ray Lewis was like, hey, Ray Lewis. Yeah, everybody else won, too. But what is it that Tom Brady, as best you can articulate, what does he bring to the locker room? I mean, he's a 43-year-old man who doesn't run in a pro football world where you got to be able to run the ball. You got to be able to burn the defense with your legs and all that. Yeah, you're around Jameis, you're around Fitzmagic and all that. What is it that Tom Brady brings into the locker room that imbues all of you guys with this thing that, like, yeah, you just beat Mahomes and Rodgers and Breeze and everybody else?
It's just this winning mentality. You know, he's been doing it for so long that he knows what he's doing, and it's contagious, just the work ethic and what he brings to the team. It's just crazy. You don't know what it is, but, you know, great leaders – you know, they don't have to try to be leaders. And that's just kind of what he does. He's just in and people follow him. So I feel like that, and, you know, him being who he is and getting the ball out on time and just putting the ball where it needs to be. It's amazing. Again, a guy of his age who still has the arm strength that he does and, you know, the decision making, it's huge. And it's uplifting for the, you know, the entire, you know, offense, defense, the whole team in reality.
It's unbelievable. And I think a lot of it probably comes down to trust, as you just mentioned. But I would, you know, I have a theory, and you let me know. I hate to bring up the negative, but you did have a bad snap in there. But I'm going to come to your defense. I think it was purposeful. I think you felt bad for the Chiefs. And you're like, this is terrible. We're losing ratings for the NFL. I'm going to try to bring, make things closer. You ended up kicking. It just ended up being a longer field goal attempt. But is that the case? You felt bad for the Chiefs and purposely oversnapped it?
Yeah, no, I don't know if I felt bad for the Chiefs. I thought it'd just be funny to watch Tom try to corral that ball like he's trying to corral a chicken, you know. So, you know, it brought a good laugh and all that. But no, just a little high heat and you know, just kind of a bad snap. But you know, it was kind of funny watching him trying to pick that thing up.
You, I'm sorry, you wore that shirt. I mean, you got in on the fun early in the day. You wore the shirt of Tom Brady, a famous picture of him at the combine. You know, not the most impressive physique. And was that your idea? Or when did you know you were going to wear that? How did he take it when he saw that?
Honestly, I didn't know when I was going to wear it. About 2 weeks ago, it just showed up in my locker at work. And I don't know who sent it to me. There was no like return label or anything. And I wore it out to a walkthrough, I think before the Saints game or maybe before the Green Bay game. And just like joking around wearing it before that. And then, everybody's like, you should wear that under a suit coat walking into the Super Bowl. I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to do it. And then the night before the game, when I was packing up before we went to the hotel, I'm like, eh, screw it, let's do it. And it was a good time. Tom laughed about it, and obviously everybody enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Who did you, in the huddle after the play, after the game, or whenever, who did you put the missed touchdown pass on? The old lineman or Tom? Did you say, like, Tom, you should have put a little more mustard on that? You didn't give him a chance.
So Joe, you know, obviously going to give him a bunch of hell for dropping a touchdown, you know, big guy touchdown in the Super Bowl. But, you know, talking to Joe about it, he was so nervous about catching the ball and then tucking it so fast that he knocked it out of his own hands. So he's like, oh, I'm just going to catch it with my hands. And I'm just going to hold it there. And you know, now looking back on it, he should have tucked it real quick because I think it was,
that's right. That's what he didn't do. Thank you for critiquing his effort there. He did. He Lee Evans'd it in the Ravens Patriots game from whatever that one was. He was getting ready to showboat. That's he lost his focus. he did one of these, like he was getting ready to show it to the crowd. Look what I did. And then it got swiped away. Mistake.
Yeah, he was about to raise that thing up like Simba and the Lion King. You know.
Yes.
And, he felt so bad, but you know, it's all fun now, and you know, he's never gonna live that one down. That's for sure.
Ryan, I'm looking at you, and you have a championship belt in the background, and yeah. What is that exactly? Is it, which one?
It's a Salute to Service nominee award. Every year, the NFL does that for like the award ceremony, and this year I was the Salute to Service nominee again, and this year the team got us a cool belt. I just, you know, hangs up there on the jersey, and
yeah,
it's pretty dope.
No, I don't want you to take it down. I was thinking, and you mentioned your parents earlier, your father was and is a martial arts instructor, and he taught you and your brother, like, so you guys have some skills. You're 6'4", 315. Dave, I'm thinking this guy, it's Ryan Jensen, maybe the toughest in the league. If there's a battle royal, like, who takes you out? Nobody, right? Who would you say is the toughest?
Tong Po. You know, like dipping his hands in glass is about all. You know, martial arts on top of being a 300-pound, 6'4" man. That's unfair.
Hand-to-hand combat. Who beats Ryan Jensen? Nobody, I say.
I think it'd be a good fight. I think the one guy I wouldn't want to fight is Vito. That man is too big.
Yeah,
it doesn't make sense.
Vita Van,
you don't have to. That guy is just bigger than other human beings. He's just pre-natural. But then again, Ndamukong Suh might kick you, and that's something true. You have to worry about. He's known for doing that.
Yeah. I don't think I'd want to fight Sue. Me and him are kind of psycho together, so that might be that might get ugly.
Speaking of psychos, our friend Dave is a psycho, and I know he's wondering. He sees the 66. You wear number 66. He's a big Mario Lemieux fan. Let's just get it out of the way, Dave. You want to know if he? It's an homage to Mario Lemieux. I have a feeling it's not.
Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say preemptively that I don't care for it. I, you know, you're a lovely man, but I mean, you know, 66 should be retired across all sports. But you know what? You wear it. I'm going to allow it here. You're in your big moment here.
Yeah. Just give me a couple more years and then, you know, it'll be, you know, then you can retire.
What do you think though? Now that Tampa, St. Pete, that's one of those weird towns. Why don't they just make it one city? I don't get that. What the motivation is for that. But either way, is the Tampa St. Pete area now between you and the Lightning, you know, obviously now the new place to be for champions. But do you suppose, you know, you hear J.J. Watt is now out there and immediately people start to tell, well, if he wants to win a ring, the place to be is Tampa. Do you sense that because of Tom and now Russell Wilson and Deshaun Watson, do you think we've suddenly reached this new place where the players' level is going to be able to make those kind of things happen? I mean, that's basically what just went down with you guys. It was Tom came and there's like, oh, Gronk's going to come now. And now Antonio Brown and so on and so forth. Do you think that this train to Tampa keeps on rolling now with the ability to recruit other big names?
I think so. I think as a professional football player, you want to win, and you see a team like us who we have, you know, kind of an all-star roster, you know, it's definitely tempting for guys to want to come and play for us. And, you know, we want to double down and then go for two, you know, right off the bat. So, you know, guys like JJ Watt or, you know, who are free agents and they want to come play and play on championship caliber teams. Yeah. I think that's something that, is really, you know, attractive to these guys.
I want to get back to Ryan kicking everyone's ass. So now the streaker runs on the field, right? You are not, the offensive unit is not on the field at the time. Defensive, defense. The Chiefs had the ball. What are you thinking? Because this could have been the highlight of the Super Bowl. Was there any thought of you taking him out? Maybe go out there, roundhouse kick, take the streaker out. That would be the highlight of the whole game, right? Forget about any plays that had any bearing on the final score. Did that go through your head?
You know, I didn't see it until about the end. When he got about to the plus 25 yard line, and I'm like, how is there nobody chasing this guy down yet? And then when he went to slide and that police officer, you know, drilled him in the head, I was like, oh, that's awesome. You know, that was a great highlight tackle to end that whole thing. But no, that was crazy. Just to see that, you don't see that at a Super Bowl very often, just because most people don't want to spend $10,000 to get arrested,
right?
But no, it was cool to just to see it. It was hilarious.
Guy took his bear tuchus out for all the world to see. That was quite a thing. Nobody belted him. Hey, so that was embarrassing for him. I really do wonder though, because you do see Tom Brady sometimes barking at his own teammates at certain points in the season. You know, Father Time's undefeated and all that. Did you at any point, like specifically in Soldier Field, when Khalil Mack was laying on top of Brady, I swear his face just was defeated. Brady's was. It was just kind of like, what the hell am I doing out here? I'm too old for this kind of thing. Did Tom ever yell at you? Like, because he, as opposed to most QBs, doesn't even try to run away anymore. It's like, oh, somebody's within 10 feet of me. I have to abide by social distancing. I'm just going to lay down on the ground. How bad do you feel? One, and two, does he get into you and be like, what the hell, man?
Yeah, definitely. You know, talking about the Chicago game, you know, that was a rough game all around for the entire offense. But yeah, you know, there's that picture of Brady, and he looks like he's screaming at me after we had a drive where there was like 9 penalties in one drive. It was just like the world's, it was just a complete mess up of the entire drive. And it looks like he's just screaming at me. And, you know, I took that because most people are like, oh, he's yelling at you. Cause I did get a personal foul on that drive. But, you know, he was just kind of yelling at all of us, hey, you know, we need to get rolling. We can't be playing like this. And that's just like when you see Tom yelling and stuff, it's all positive. It's not like he's blaming anybody. It's all just we gotta go, because what we're doing now isn't acceptable. So, yeah, you know, when you see him getting fired up like that, it's all out of,
is it like he's your dad though? Is it like you feel like you're getting yelled at by dad or whatever?
No, his dad's a second degree black belt. He isn't.
Oh, you're right. Yeah, oh, by the way, has anyone in the locker room ever brought up the fact that on Pro Football Reference, his nickname, Tom Brady's nickname, is listed as the Pharaoh? Has this ever come up in the locker room that he's known as the Pharaoh? Where did this jive come from?
Yeah, I've never actually heard that. So I'm gonna do some research on that.
Ryan, let me ask you, you know, Tom could get in your face. He could yell at you, but he could also make you laugh. He has an audible where he yells red panties. Is that something you guys worked out ahead? I mean, obviously if it's audible, everybody on the team has to be in sync with it, but does it make you giggle to a point where you almost fall start? I mean, poor you have your hand on the ball. If you flinch even a little from the red panties reference, that's it. You're minus 5 yards.
Yeah, you know, I don't know what that audible is. That was for you, what it sounds like on TV. But I don't think we have a red panty.
Oh, it's not anywhere. Really, it sounds like it.
Yeah, it definitely sounds like it. I can see that on TV. But yeah, it's definitely not he's not yelling panties. That's for sure.
What is he saying? Does that give anything up if you tell me what he's saying?
I'm trying to think like what P word audible that we have that kind of sounds like that. I can't.
Red Kangle, as BA likes to wear periodically as a man. Right? Of high, yeah.
Red Pharaoh?
Like
no,
that.
That's not it. That's not the same. Pharaoh,
I don't know what it is. You know,
Jensen, let's get into the matter at hand here. What was ingested on Wednesday? Are you philosophically a day drinker over a night drinker? Are you old enough? Because I feel like you reach a certain station of maturity in life where you realize staying out till all hours ain't the way. The way is to throw it on under the light of day, and then as night falls, your head hits the pillow.
Yeah, I think I prefer day drinking now. Back in my college days, you know, staying out till 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. I mean, the after party went, I don't know how long it went, but I don't like going home when it's dark anymore because it hurts a lot more the next morning. I like being a day drinker. You get your drinks in and all that, and then if you time it right, you usually fall asleep and you're somewhat sober. So usually prevents the hangover from happening the next day. So I'm much rather be a day drinker.
Ryan is a bet. Ryan's a Crown Royal spokesman, as are we. So yeah, just by mentioning it, I burned off a deliverable for you. So you don't have to do, you have to do one less spot. There you go.
Deal.
hey, Coach Arian says you're going to run it back a second year. Any doubt in your mind? I know this is a dumb question, but you feel the tools, the pieces are in place to do it a second time? I mean, what would stop you guys at this point?
I think, we have a couple of free agents and stuff that we got to get back that are big parts of this team. And, they want everybody back, and that way we can double down and, and go for another run. So, I think with what we have as a team, with Tom and, how well our defense and how young our defense is for the most part. I definitely think we have a legitimate shot of repeating.
Nice. Well,
Things for you. Well, one thing specifically for you, are you one of these O-line men who in the offseason, you have to fight to keep the weight on? Or are you going to get real loose with the best food in Tampa and otherwise, and you're going to have to, worry about, don't pack on too much, Ryan, in the Super Bowl repeat effort? And two, as far as that goes, maybe now that you're champions, you guys could all hold out and say, we're not taking the field unless we get to wear the Buccaneer Bruce uniforms in 2020.
Oh, here we go.
But I know offensive linemen don't like the all-white.
Yeah, all white's just not good. I mean, we're not designed to be wearing white jerseys. It's almost worse. Our Super Bowl jerseys that we wore, we wore the white with the pewter pants, and it's like that dark pewter really made our legs look really small. And then the white jerseys, just amplified the power gut. So, it's always a O-lineman's worst nightmare having white jerseys. And you just throw all white on, and it's just like you look like the Marshmallow Man. It's just not good.
Dave spends as many hours going over the pewter versus white versus red as you guys are in your playbooks. And luckily I get to hear all about it all the time. Ryan, well, thank you for joining us, man. This has been great. And I don't know what's next for you in the next couple of weeks. Is it knitting? Is it pottery? Do you just calm down? Or as Dave says, maybe you take in all the great restaurants. What's on the agenda for you?
Yeah, getting ready to head back to Colorado. That's where we spend our off season. I'm going to go just relax up in the mountains and just chill, sit on the deck and drink some coffee, maybe some Crown Royal. I don't know.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out.
There you go. Ryan Jensen, a Super Bowl champ and the biggest ass kicker in the league. And he challenges anyone out there as a 6'4", 315 martial artist. Anyone who wants to take him up on the offer, go get him. Right, Ryan?
Oh yeah, definitely. I'll never back down from anything.
I'm feeling it. All right, Ryan, thanks for joining us. I appreciate it. Congratulations.
Say hi to the Pharaoh.
We'll do. Appreciate you guys.
All right. Take care.
Mazel tov, man.
See ya.
He's great.
Thanks, man. He's gone. That was great.
Yeah. He's awesome. Wow. I mean, look, these poor guys, they do all these interviews. They seem exhausted. The last one of the week probably is with us. And we're asking him about red panties, or at least I am, which ended up being big, big swing and miss there for you, Joel Solomon. It's not red panties after all. Now I ended up looking like a jackass.
I just wanted you to clear that up for everyone. And I appreciate it.
What a jerk.
Glad you appreciate it. Now that my career is in jeopardy here. My God. Well, we started talking about J.J. Watt going. I don't know where we want to jump in here. Immediately I thought, oh, he could be a Cowboy. When you just feel a player might come to your team. I have the feeling that everyone that was 900 times out of 1,000. I'm like, no, that guy will never be a Cowboy. What are you talking about? But J.J. Watt, I'm like, oh, maybe. And then T.J., the brother, has this whole thing about him coming to the Steelers. Could it be? They'd have to pay him less. But what do you think? Is that someone you want, Dave, as a Steeler?
Sure. I mean, yeah, in a fantasy sense, it'd be great to have. I mean, a fun story and everything else to have all three, Derek and Jay. I always wonder how Derek felt. I'd like to talk to him about the fact that he's got JJ and TJ. For some reason, I don't know if it's an insult to him that his parents didn't make him DJ. But either way, the players union's not going to smile on this. I mean, even if TJ and JJ and Derek and Mike Tomlin and Kevin Colbert all wanted to happen, I don't know how you get JJ Watt, who's been in the league for what, 9 years now? 10. This will be his 10th. Either way, he's owed a certain level of money, and the union doesn't say like, yeah, just take the minimum. Just take the minimum. That's good for it. It's bad for the union. So I doubt.
But there's been some weirder things that have gone out. The bigger issue, I think, 32 years old. Last week he turned 32, right? Yeah, 32. Oh no, March 22nd. Okay. 5 sacks, you know, not his greatest year. So I don't know what you guys, it was weird again to me that they just cut him. Apparently they were doing right by him, as I mentioned earlier. His best years are probably behind him, but I think it's fun. You team him up with his brothers.
I mean, he's got a bum back, or that's right. What he's chronically had a couple of times that's put him down. That's not a great long-term injury to have to work around. But let's say even that you buy that the defense stunk and therefore other teams were able to focus on stopping JJ Watt primarily before they concerned themselves with other matters on the defense. And so if you make him a piece of the puzzle rather than the main focal point, maybe he has some juice left. I don't know. I mean, I just don't think that Pittsburgh makes sense for him other than the fun of playing with his brothers. That's not certainly what Pittsburgh needs to be spending its money on.
Very strange. 5 years, he's only made it 16 games twice. 16, he had 3. 17, he had 5. And 18, he had 16. He played the full season. And then in 19, he played half the season. Then he finished it out. He did play the whole season this year. I mean, if you had, Dave, I don't know what the odds would be on J.J. Watt and Gronk not missing a single game. My God. You would have had 50-1 odds, I think, on those two things happening. But it did.
Yeah, true. Wow, good point.
In fact, thank you. It did happen. I want to talk about Brady a little more because no one's discussing this guy. But very relatable during the team celebration, right? And even during the game itself, I was like, and I picked Tampa to win and I had the under and whatever. So I'm rooting for Tom Brady. But halfway through the game, I'm like, why the hell am I rooting for Tom Brady? And then you are rooting for him and he wins and he's smiling and you're celebrating along with him. And it might be just that he was able to distance himself from Belichick. Maybe that's what I didn't like about it. But anyway, I'm rooting for Tom Brady. Then in the parade and the celebration, he ties one on. You're rooting for him there. He's like, oh, he's a relatable guy now. Is it possible that everyone could start to love Tom Brady? Could it get to a point where that happens?
It's almost like he's our sacrificial lamb that he's willing to.
He doesn't eat lamb. It's not on the diet. Take a look.
Well, as far as that goes, right. His austere lifestyle in exchange for winning Super Bowls is something that I don't think many of us would be willing to do. We wouldn't take on avocado shakes in exchange for a Lombardi trophy, or at least I'm speaking for myself. I think that's what it's about, is that now we feel like could this have been any a straighter line from where we started, Sal, when we started having this conversation in July and August to now, that however this broke, the rest of us non-Patriots fans were going to end up being the winners. And so here we are in the winner's circle. Whoever wants to play for Bill Belichick now, it's all been this suspended notion that, well, this is, again, austere, the entire team, that you have to abide by rules and you can't have a full personality in the building and just do your job and do what I tell you to do and be a robot and I'll turn you into a champion and all that. Like, now what, Belichick? Apparently, you don't have to do those things. Lane Johnson called it out. I'd rather win one title with the Eagles than 5 with the Patriots and all that. And Chris Long, who was on the Patriots and then won with the Eagles, and the difference in quality of celebration and all that. I mean, you know, now if you are, it's all about, like, if you're Julian Edelman or Danny Amendola and you don't have any current options besides the Patriots, then you do it because that's what you have to do to stay in the league. But what high pedigree guy is going to be like, yeah, of all the places I could go, that's the one I want to be in.
No, where I agree. I don't think people want to go. That's why the Deshaun Watson conversation is nonsensical. Right. But I think the flip side of it is now Brady is so likable as a result. I don't even know what the comparison is, but is it possible for him to be the most likable player in the league after being part of the hated Patriots? I wonder if he just wins a Super Bowl. Now, it helps if he wins a Super Bowl with another team. If he wins a Super Bowl with everyone's favorite team, now he only has 30 more to go. This isn't ridiculous. He's 43. So he would, if he played for a different team every year, he would be 73 by the time he got.
I see.
Unless they expanded by then, they probably would expand. That complicates things a little bit. But he's on his way to becoming, and it sounds ridiculous, the most popular, the most beloved player in the league.
Yeah, it's funny because usually the guys, there's a weird math that happens of like the most loathsome characters for some reason then move on after they retire and then become lovable. Mm-hmm. Like John Madden is probably the best example. I mean, he was burning nails and like, you know, he was the originator basically of Us Against the World, and mm-hmm. everybody hated the Raiders and all that kind of stuff. And then he goes up into the booth and he's like, oh, he's a jolly guy. He's the best. Tom Brady's doing this in his career. He was the villain, and now all of a sudden he's
I agree.
He's crooked on a boat in the middle of the week throwing shiny objects around his pals. Yeah.
So maybe the bottom line is there's hope for Donald J. Trump. You know, he was hated by many, half the nation, but now, you know, he could pull off he could be the next Michael J. Fox. Who knows if he plays his cards right? That's what Tom Brady did.
Let's see what he has going for Act 2. Yeah,
that was a great sports celebration. I'm trying to think which sports celebration jumps out first in your mind as wow, that looked like a lot of fun. This one goes to the top of the list probably because it's fresh in our minds. But I feel like the hockey celebrations, where it's not the number one sport, but the hockey celebrations, Ovechkin was big. I remember that Rangers 94 parade. I hated every minute of it, but it was gigantic. It was the biggest gathering in New York up until then. You know, locally, the Kings here, I happen to live by a lot of the LA Kings. They bring the trophy. The first stop is North End Bar right here in Manhattan Beach. What jumps out to you is the greatest celebration? I'm not saying on field. To me, it's Jesse Orosco throwing the glove in the air and the 86 Mets. But in the parade or some kind of post, this wasn't a parade. It was in the lake or whatever. But what do you think?
Well, I'll keep it local in my heart, my Pittsburgh, PA. I will say that Mario Lemieux and company, when they won the Stanley Cup for the first time, the cup was found at the break of dawn at the bottom of Lemieux's pool. So that must have been a fun party. I mean, he got ahead of Brady, Brady almost got the Lombardi trophy to the bottom of the sea. I wonder too.
Is that where you got your idea of just being negligent when it comes to trophies? Like, hey, yeah, my hero, Mario Lemieux, threw it in the bottom of his pool. I'm going to one up and I'm going to lose ours.
I did wonder if that Lombardi falls into the sea there. What do they do then? I imagine somebody jumps from the other boat in after it.
Yes. I think Gronk jumps in and we never see him again.
Is that you think he goes down there and he becomes a sea creature who torments people who pay a visit to the Tampa St. Pete area? Yeah, that could be. He's somewhere. He's caught in between heaven and hell. He's a demon down there.
I would believe anything, Dave. I could see that out. And nothing would shock me at this point. Hey, Nick Foles doesn't complete that that Lombardi trophy pass for sure. That's definitely in the bottom of the reservoir.
I do remember a story way back when after one of the Steelers Super Bowls, Bradshaw was going through a toll booth and he went to throw his change into the bucket thing and he missed it. So that's a pretty funny one. You should ask your friend TB about that next time you see him. The best one personally for me is after the Penguins won the Stanley Cup for the first time, several days or weeks or whatever, they give it to, like you say, not just to the players, but to the broadcasters. And one of the broadcasters, Paul Staggerwald, we were in our favorite drinking hole, me and a few of my pals at closing time. And we were literally among, you know, six or eight people in the bar at closing time. And Paul Staggerwald comes in with the Stanley Cup and a gigantic, a Vita Vea-sized human being with white gloves and everything else and a blazer with the Stanley Cup, because of course the Cup needs a bodyguard. And he brings it in there because that's where he used to like to get his drinks. And you know, we talked. I said to Staggy, I said, "Hey, you think we could give a feel to the Cup? We could hoist it." And he said, "Yeah, that's what it's all about, man. Go ahead if it's all right with the big guy." And he said, "Okay." Next thing we knew, we were a half dozen people hoisting the Cup that bore Lemieux and Orr and Béliveau and all the rest's names. And then
Very exciting.
Could we pour a little Iron City into that cup and take a sip from it? He said, if it's okay with the bodyguard. And he said it was okay. And then we drank the most delicious drink that's ever passed these lips. Iron City inside the Stanley Cup. That was the best celebration.
And then 10 minutes later, they asked, Dave, where can we get that cup back? And they're like, I don't know where it is. Shame the devil. Who took it? Where is it?
Funny, because we did take a moment, because there were like two other people there. And when the other people were drinking, we were like, should one of us, because this is before the days of cell phones, we were really like, should somebody run and get a camera? Because no one's going to believe this.
Right.
And then we got into like, do we make a run for it? Because like we're not going to keep it forever, but just for the night, so we get some good pictures with it. Then we give it back. 66. Yeah. It's on your front door.
Well, you should have gotten a camera, because I don't believe it even for a second. But it's a nice story. Another nice story. Joel Solomon did some research for us, and I don't want to pass this up because he did hours of research on this quarterback thing. Now, Dave, I don't even know who's arguing this, but Dave maintains that the best quarterbacks win Super Bowls. So of course, all right. I'm on board with that. And Joel, what did you do here? You did research to further Dave's point? What is this? Well,
Dave has gotten in my head. And so I spent entirely too much time looking into this when I should have been looking into Valentine's Day gifts. But I went all the way back to the 1999 season between the Rams and Titans to look at all the quarterbacks that have played in Super Bowls and what season into their career they made it. You know, Dave made an excellent point that it's always assumed they'll get back. Marino never made it back. And you know, Pat Mahomes, we've seen make it two in his first 4 years.
The best one is Russell Wilson now. That's the guy who now all of a sudden you have to look at that. It was after year three in his career that he'd been in two Super Bowls, one. Oh, well, Russell Wilson and the Seahawks, maybe dynasty, hasn't even been in a title game since then.
Right.
Well, broke it down, and it does add up. Dave is right. That window is about 5 years. And if a quarterback doesn't make it within that first 5 years, there's a chance they don't make it at all.
Who are the, you want to read them off, or what ones that, I don't know. I'm trying to give you a time here for all the thing you did, but
I don't know why, Sal, you think this isn't a thing, or you think it's an obvious point, but everybody wants to argue about minus three yesterday. Spaghetti attempted to mount that argument that it's not about necessarily over leveraging, the rest of the roster in the name of getting one of these superstar QBs, but that is everything. But the other hand is, as Joe will get into now, is that it's not a coincidence that year 4 or 5, right around that place, is when you want to cash in, because then the QB signs his second contract and then is making $40 million. And then you do not have a deep roster, and that QB better cover up all the warts on that roster. And as it happens, there are about 3 or 5 human beings who are capable of doing what I just
but mentioned. Isn't that for any sport? Year 3, 4, 5 is their best year, anybody's best year. Hockey, baseball,
possibly. regardless statistically, of
contracts come up. All right. Yeah. So, contracts, Joel, you did that for nothing. Yeah.
Well, contracts, injuries, and I think defenses figuring out quarterbacks definitely goes into it. But second season, Russell Wilson, Kaepernick, Roethlisberger, Brady, Kurt Warner, and you know, you could say Carson Wentz's team went. So by fourth season, third season, Mahomes, Russell Wilson, Jake Delhomme. Fourth season, Mahomes, Jared Goff, Eli Manning, Rex Grossman, Brady, Kurt Warner. By the fifth season, Cam Newton, Flacco, Roethlisberger, Brady, McNair. And the sixth season, you can add Garoppolo, Aaron Rodgers, and McNabb. And after that, I mean, it really does drop off. There's some guys that made it later in their career, Eli Manning, Matt Ryan, Drew Brees. But later in their careers, it's guys that have gone to different teams. So when you look back at the drafts, these guys, maybe Dak Prescott, maybe the window has passed. So, you know, I don't want to break the news to you on this podcast.
No, it's all right. I don't want to break the news to you. I think you wasted your time. I think you wasted a couple hours. I think we all knew that the quarterbacks
kept at it. No, we didn't. And if this is the posture Sal wants to take, Joel, I don't want you getting down on yourself there, babyface. Sal's trying to be cool. But this is the fascinating conundrum for pro football teams. One, from a marketing standpoint, you need it's a quarterback league. So if you don't have a superstar QB, you're behind the eight ball in terms of jersey sales and everything else. But that's a small matter. But yes, that's exactly right. As I've said forever, the sweet spot is one of those superstar QBs while he's still on his rookie deal. That's how you win Super Bowls. And Tom Brady, that's why it is remarkable. Even remember like 8, 9, 10 years ago, when Peyton and Brady were having their battles on one side, they were making whatever the equivalent of $40 million was in the salary cap structure for them. They were carrying teams that were fraudulent rosters overall. Whereas in the NFC, you had Kaepernick and Russell Wilson battling it out, but they had deep rosters because they had QBs on their rookie deals. Now, though, what this explains is you're kind of like, it's a catch 22. Either you have a pedestrian QB or you break the bank to have one of these superstars. But I think the answer is, though, Joel, is that if you want to be a perennial contender, Aaron Rodgers has been in 5 title games. We can lament that he has only won 1 Lombardi. But what it says is that if you pay one of these guys, at least you're in the playoff mix most years. And that's what you get out of paying one of these guys $40 million. But they're just, you know, there's 6 or 7 of them.
It pays to have a good quarterback. I agree. I'm going to agree. Dave froze up here, I think. Did he leave us? Hey, we lost Dave for a second, so now's a good time to show our love for FanDuel. And what's cool about the FanDuel Sportsbook app? I can't believe you're asking at this point, but you get to combine props with other bets from same game to score an even bigger payout. It's called the same game parlay bet. You can only find them on FanDuel. Player, point total, rebounds, assist. You take money line, the over-under, the point spread. Right now, new and existing users can get up to $25 back each day if your parlay falls one leg short with same-game parlay insurance. Oh, my God. Harry would go nuts for this. He is going nuts for this. No one has gone 4-5 right on more parlays in their lifetime than Harry. And now there's something called same-game parlay insurance offered by FanDuel. You heard that right. Every day, easy to use, easy to register, easy to deposit, easy to find your bet. You can go live betting, easy to place your bet fast during your game if you see a trend you like. Odds, boosts, special every day, and some big super boosts each weekend around the bigger local and national matchups. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today, try a same game parlay, and use promo code Extra Points at sign up. That is FanDuel.com/Extra Points. All right, I think we have Dave back here. All right, Dave, you cut out for a second. Where we left off, you had gone 7 minutes straight with your idea.
I
about
know. Okay. See, that's, don't you know enough, Sal? Don't, with a vain guy like me,
yes,
don't act engaged, like, what's the point of any of this, and condescend about it, because then that just makes me,
well,
double.
Here's my point. Down. Here's what I want to say about this, and I think everyone could agree on this, and this is not scientific, but it involves your favorite number, 7. And I'm going to say 7% of Super Bowl winning quarterbacks are not great, and 7% of those who don't win or make it are great. Is that a fair number? There's been 55 Super Bowls. 7% would put you at 4 or 5 quarterbacks that are not great. There are 4 or 5. There's a bunch that are great that didn't. Tony Romo, Dan Marino, the list goes on and on. Dan Fouts that didn't win the Super Bowl. Can we agree on
all
that?
All right. Good point. And yes,
the streaker,
I was, like,
the streaker might be the breakout.
That was... and I don't know how it didn't occur to me until now. It's Tony Romo.
Well, of course, you can't blanket statement. Every quarterback that wins is great. Every quarterback that doesn't win isn't great. If there are 32 teams, 7% is real quick. Okay, so that's 3 quarterbacks in the league right now who are great.
Oh, well,
they have not
right,
won or made it to the Super Bowl.
The
I think that's fair, right?
Good.
I think that you're on to something, except for the part that I say the difference is you may not win Super Bowls. As I've said ad nauseum, John Elway's greatest deeds are not those two Lombardis he gets thanks to Terrell Davis in the twilight of his career. It's the Super Bowls that he got the Broncos to in the 80s. Those rosters were mediocre to poor. Sammy Winder was the feature back of those Broncos teams. Fat Sammy Winder. Sammy Winder. The receivers were Vance Johnson and Steve Watson for a couple of those Super Bowl runs.
That's fine for a football junkie like you to remember that, and that's great. But John Elway, he's not listed.
But they were always in the mix because of Elway, not because of depth of roster or otherwise. And that's what I'm getting at. Yes, like Aaron Rodgers is a great one because he's a great one to hold up and say, man, he's only won one Lombardi. And Dave, you think QB wins in the postseason matter? Yeah, my pushback is he has gotten that Packers team five times to the title game. Yeah, and once you get to that place, then I can buy into like 60 minutes of football and the backup tight end drops the onside kick. And then all of a sudden you don't go to the Super Bowl as a result. Those things happen. Tony Romo is in a big spot and he drops the one snap, but that team maybe goes deeper. And if Eli doesn't respond against the Cowboys defense in what was that,
2007 Cowboys team,
whatever that was. If he doesn't put that drive together right before the half, maybe Romo goes to a Super Bowl and we regard him differently. Yes, those the nuance of what happens within 60 minutes, a play here or a play or six there over the course of a career. But the point is the recurrence of getting your team, no matter thick and thin with the roster and salary cap and everything else, are you in the mix more often than not? Only the great QBs get their teams to do that.
So that's my difference. 7% thing. And ironically, Dave spoke for 7 minutes. I briefly touched on my 7% theory, and then he spoke for another 7 minutes. So that's the theory right here. The 7-7-7-7. There you go. So that's a nice line on the slot machines. And look into. I want people to try to hit us up at theextrapointsgang@gmail.com. Let us know what you think about these quarterbacks. Is Dave making too much of this? Am I making too little of it? theextrapointsgang@gmail.com. Dave, your Penguins beat my Islanders in a shootout. Mikey Meatballs, that was terrible. Lots going on there. Up with the Barzell with a nice goal, having a lead with 3 minutes left. What did they score with 19 seconds left? They pulled a goal?
Yeah, 18 seconds left. Me and Parlay Kid said the same thing. You knew they were not winning that game once they didn't hit that empty net.
Right. Now, the empty net was interesting. The net's off its moorings, and unfortunately, the way it goes is as soon as the other team touches up, they have to blow the whistle. And unfortunately, it was going to be an easy empty net, but it was just off, barely off. So that happens. And then it goes to overtime, and there's a gratuitous line change that doesn't get called on the Pens. And then the Islanders do nothing in the shootout. But congratulations, you win. Although over the 6 days, I guess they split, right?
Well, it was a beautiful goal to give your Isles the lead. You got to appreciate that, right? The thing that's a really rough spot is that the skill on the ice is now so great that there's not enough room out there for the superstars until they go to overtime. And then when you see among the most satisfying watches in sports right now. But of course, the NHL can't say, let's just go to that forever now, because then it corrupts every record, all the history of the game. So they're in a weird spot, because there's no question that if you watch it, that's a more satisfying brand, the overtime.
I just don't know how they would do it. I mean, these guys get exhausted after 50 seconds. Like, oh, Barzell's exhausted. They got to get him off the ice. So I don't know if that was the full 60 minutes. It would change everything. It would change every approach to how you play it. But it's not going to happen anyway, so it doesn't matter.
No, they're not going to change it. But listen, in the here and now, with the sky is falling, people in Pittsburgh, it was nice to see Geno Malkin, mid-30s guy, who everybody in town is begging for the Penguins to trade, scores that big goal.
There you go.
56 games. I know you don't. I don't know if you turned the corner yet. Are you in on this NHL season? There's already buzz that at minimum they got to go with the Canadian division forever. And I love it. They should just keep all those Canadian teams
you like that?
Playing each other forever. Oh, it's so
seems xenophobic, but if you say so, I don't know. I don't know. I think I need to see some Isles Kings in there so that when they come here, we could watch them, theoretically, if I could actually watch that. But that's not happening either. But, yeah, let's talk in a few weeks. And I'm serious when I say let's talk in a few weeks because I'm taking next week off. I am officially sick of my own voice. And Dave's and Babyface Joel Solomon's research, I've had enough. I'll probably return the week after, but I'm off next week. No extra points. Dave, you will be doing -3. We're going to team you up with somebody.
In the meantime, though, go back and listen to it. We wrap up football season 2020. That doesn't mean that football talk is over with, of course, because the football season never ends. But we bury our time capsule, me and Jeff Schwartz and Eddie Spaghetti, basically make our predictions of everything that's going to happen in the next 12 months of football. And so dig that up and take your shot at seeing how you what you think is going to happen. We play a lot of games about like how many more Super Bowls for Patrick Mahomes. What's your answer, Sal?
Well, okay. So I said like they put a number on this. How many Super Bowl wins or appearances?
Appearances.
Three.
Three
that's
more?
That's fair.
Okay. That's not
fair?
Outrageous.
What did you say? One? You
well,
have to
Schwartz
say one.
Well, Schwartz said two. I think Spaghetti said two. I think two's about right. I'd say that's about right. I wouldn't be surprised if it's one. You
okay.
Know? I think anything above that, I'll take, like I say, I'll play curmudgeon on this one. I'll take the under on just about any bet people want to throw out.
All right.
That. And it's not an insult to Mahomes. It's the nature of the game. It's exactly what we've just talked about.
He'll producer Jim, throw out the number one. So then Dave has to take the under and you could bet him. You'll make some money. Let's go around real quick. Jim, how many Super Bowls does Mahomes make it to?
I could see him making one more.
One more. All right, Joel.
I think that's right. If Deshaun Watson stays in the AFC, anywhere in the AFC, and then you have Josh Allen in the AFC and Justin Herbert. I mean, like, there's only one team that gets to go to the Super Bowl. So is it the Chiefs just forever?
No, I don't know. A lot of those players were in the league this year, and he made it too. Babyface, what do you think? How many?
I'm going three and possibly four late in his career with the New York Jets.
Oh, all right. Spaghetti.
Look who's fun.
It's the answer's two. He's going to get one in the next 2 to 3 seasons. And then like a decade from now, he'll have to figure out some kind of super team in a Brady to Tampa-esque sort of way. And he'll get one like old man Mahomes gets back to a Super Bowl after like a decade apart.
I like that. All right. Meatballs, you're the last one.
I'm going to say three or four. I don't think he slows down.
Really?
I think the talent's there.
Meatballs is high end.
I think he can carry a team.
There you go. All right, for sure. All right. Well, listen, you guys could talk about this all next week because I don't give a damn. I'm off.
Where are you going, Sal?
I can't.
Tampa St. Pete?
I can't say because it's very irresponsible where I'm going. I'm going to Australia. I'm living out my days there. They seem to have it figured out. No, I don't know. I'm really just staying home, I think, for the week. But we may have a little road trip later in the week, but extra points will return on the 22nd. Against all odds, will be hosted by Jerry Ferrara. He will be up there with the degenerate trifecta, and Dave will be back with -3, and we're going to pair him up with someone sensational. We have a lot of nice options here, Dave, for you.
I'm excited. Ryan Jensen?
Ryan Jensen would be great. Yeah. And then you get a bodyguard in there, too. My God.
J.J. Watt?
Who's beating that guy up? 6'4", 315, martial artist, for God's sakes. Thank you, Ryan Jensen, for coming on. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And a reminder out there to everyone who may feel like an underdog, remember, you're all my favorites. See you next week.